House will come to order. Gee, it's quiet out there. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February the 18th, 2015, the 25th day of the session. Today is the deadline. 5 o'clock today is the deadline for third reading budget and amendments to be submitted to LSO. Tomorrow we will do third reading on the budget. Today is what we call the day of rest. We'll do general file all day. Should be a lot of fun. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger. Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Burkhart, excuse. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly. Connolly, excuse. Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Greer, excused. Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harshman, excused. Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone. Crone. Crone, Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lindholm excused, Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Moniz excused, Nicholas,
here.
Nicholas excused, Northrup,
here.
Northrup excused, Patton excused, Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
excuse.
Stubson excused, Throne,
excuse.
Throne excused, Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Crone,
here.
49 present, 11 excused.
Prayer today is offered by Reverend Elizabeth Wilson, representing First Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne.
And let us pray. Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage. Make us always remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Bless our state with honest industry, sound learning, and an honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Help us to become a united people. Defend our liberties and give those whom we have entrusted with the authority of government the spirit of wisdom, that there might be justice and peace in our land. When times are prosperous, let our hearts be thankful. And in troubled times, do not let our trust in you fail. Bless those who hold office in the government in the great state of Wyoming, that they may do their work in a spirit of wisdom, kindness, and justice. Help them use their authority to serve faithfully and to promote the general welfare of our state. We ask all this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join. Reading clerk will read the journal report.
The journal committee reports that the journal of February 17, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Representative Walters.
Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my great pleasure today to introduce to you the doctor of the day. The doctor of the day today is the best doctor in all of Casper, Dr. Jonna Cuban. So please join me in welcoming her.
And the nurse of the day is Lily Bavona from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Please welcome her as well. We're now at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. Oh, sorry. Representative Byrd, please, I'll bet you want privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I would like privilege of the
floor. Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Every once in a while, we get the future leaders of the state of Wyoming here, and I am very proud to announce that one of my favorite grade schools, elementary schools, Pioneer Park, is here with their fifth grades today, and their instructors, Mr. Woodard, Ms. Kinslinger, and Ms. Nelson. If you would stand up, let's welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. And ladies and gentlemen, maybe before we go to work, I did talk to Representative Patton's son this morning. He's still in ICU, but they're expecting him to come out today. He's doing fine. He is making noise about being here the first of the week, and his doctor is making noise about him not being here, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But in any event, he's doing fine. We're now at that business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 11 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to junk dealers.
Senate File 11 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 100.
Senate File 100 from Floyd Escobel, an act relating to controlled substances prescription tracking program.
Senate File 100 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 122.
Senate File 122 from Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the administration of government.
Senate File 122 is assigned to Revenue Committee Number 3. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 124.
Senate File 124 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to sales and use tax.
Senate File 124 is assigned to Revenue Committee Number 3. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to supplemental at-risk financial assistance for summer school.
Senate File 74 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 91.
Senate File 91 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to charter schools.
Senate File 91 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 133.
Senate File 133 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 133 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 50.
Senate File 50 from the Tribal Relations Committee, an act relating to administration of the government.
Senate File 50 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 99.
Senate File 99 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to professions and occupations.
Senate File 99 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 116.
Senate File 116 from Senator Johnson, an act relating to legislature.
Senate File 116 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 118.
Senate File 118 from Senator Kraft, an act relating to Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities Program.
Senate File 118 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 121.
Senate File 121 from Senator Hastert, an act relating to labor and employment.
Senate File 121 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 132.
Senate File 132 from Senator Scott, an act relating to housing discrimination.
Senate File 132 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 136. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 136 from Senator Kinski, an act relating to emergency medical service licensing.
Senate File 136 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 95.
Senate File 95 from Senator Coe, an act relating to operation of motor vehicles.
Senate File 95 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to public works and contracts.
Senate File 17 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 130.
Senate File 130 from Senator Burns, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery.
Senate File 130 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 138.
Senate File 138 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to economic development.
Senate File 138 is assigned to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3 from Senator Burns, an act relating to public health and safety.
Senate File 3 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 85.
Senate File 85 from Senator Scott, an act relating to Long-Term Care Choices Act.
Senate File 85 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 88.
Senate File 88 from Senator Kraft, an act relating to health care facilities.
Senate File 88 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 90.
Senate File 90 from Senator Geis, an act relating to medical services.
Senate File 90 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 115.
Senate File 115 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to discrimination.
Senate File 115 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 145.
Senate File 145 from Senator Peterson, an act relating to public health.
Senate File 145 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Harvey.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I have some of the best grandkids in the world, and I have to tell you that I have three of them with me today. Two of them you probably saw in the gallery, and they're busy working in the intern office right now. But the third one, Jimmy, would you stand up, is our page of the day, Jimmy Hayes, and he is an eighth grader here in Cheyenne at Cary Middle School, or Cary Junior High. What's it called, Jimmy? Junior High? Okay. Anyway, we call Jimmy and Alex our bookends. They're both 6 foot four or taller, and even though there's 4 years difference in their ages, they both are exceptionally good at math. So if you need any math done, like Grandma does occasionally, he's good to help out with that. I'd like you to help me welcome Jimmy Hayes as our page today. And further, Mr. Speaker, up in this gallery, Alex Sawaya, my grandson, Dylan Oman, my legislative aide, my adopted grandson, because he's always at our house anyway. So please welcome them.
Welcome to the House. Well, in that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills, the first message for our consideration is... I don't have them on here. Oh, there are. You want to do those first? Okay. I'm changing course, ladies and gentlemen. We'll do reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 111 and Gross Summary Probate Proceedings, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 82 and Gross Funeral Services Practitioners Act, Amendments, respectfully report saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrop, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 93, County Road Fund Pavement Management, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Reeder, and Wilson. One excused, Representative Northrop, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom referred Senate File 103, Engrossed Bicycle Pathway and Highway Separation, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, and Schwartz. One no vote, Representative Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 137, Farm License Plates, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Walters, and Dave Swanitzer. One no vote, Representative Reeder, signed by Dave Swanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 92, Workers' Compensation, County Elected Officials, respectfully report saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters, signed by, and one no vote, Representative Larson, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
We have one re-referral, Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer Senate File 92 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 92 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Now we're on that business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message 242 on House Joint Resolution 3. Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence request number 242 to House Joint 3, Free Roaming Wild Horses, and ask for your favorable consideration on this. Vote yes. When the Senate went through, all they did was take this particular bill and change everything that says wild to feral. And the only problem we have on that is that the act they refer to in the bill or in the resolution is the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burrow Act of 1979. And we're trying to figure out which fight we want to pick with them, which one to go after them with. So I didn't think this is a proper one to go for.
So you recommend a yes vote or a no vote?
I'm recommending an aye vote on this.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to give a recommendation for a slight resist. As the good chairman stated, there's better things to go and fight about. But the reason we had it as Wild Horse and Burrow Act, or Wild Horse and Burrow, was because of the Wild Horse and Burrow Act, and I think the resolution has a lot more strength as the way it left this body. Thank you.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments on House Joint Resolution 3. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton. Excused. Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Allen, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Campbell, aye to no. Kennedy, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Petrov, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Pieperinen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 15 aye, 44 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 3. The next message for our consideration is message number 244 on House Bill 22, Chairman Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 244 on House Bill number 22 and would ask for your no vote. It seems that's what we're in the mood for. Ladies and gentlemen, you may remember this bill and accomplished two things in the committee. Number one, it allowed disabled veterans to purchase disabled veteran license plates for their motorcycle and multi-purpose vehicles as one of their choices. And it also asked the fact that they prove residency when they come in to renew. But what the Senate did is basically said that you still are entitled to one free plate, but you as a disabled veteran can buy as many other plates at full price. And we would like to have that discussion about the number of plates that we should allow our disabled veterans to buy. And with that, I would ask for a no vote.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments on House Bill 22. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton. Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart, Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas, Northrup.
No.
Patton, excused. Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Pipirinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers. Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 22. The next message for our consideration is message number 245 on House Bill 73, Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In keeping with the no tradition today, I'm going to move for concurrence on message 245 to House Bill 73 and ask you to not concur. The Senate went through, and in their wisdom, we had stretched those days, time period where we looked at standards out to 10 years, because there's 9 standards. We'd like to have to go back and talk to them and see if we can either have 8 or 9, 9 preferable. So that's why I'd like for you to vote no on this. Thank you.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 73. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
Yes.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman. Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Krohn,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden, Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
no.
Petroff, Pipirinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters. Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 2-I, 57 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 73. The next message for our consideration is message number 246 on House Bill 9. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message 246 regarding House Bill 9 and with some trepidation, I'm going to ask you to vote yes. And the two amendments that they dealt with, one of them dealt with the bonding requirements for dealers of alternative fuels, and they took that out, and in place of it is that bonding requirements would be required if they missed a payment, if they had a bad payment record. Okay, the other one was ethanol. We had a little paragraph in there that said that if you're selling ethanol, you need to put it on the pump so people know what they're buying. And it turns out that that's elsewhere in another title within our statutes, so it wasn't needed. So, again, I urge you to vote yes on this concurrence.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments on House Bill 9. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund. Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 9. Well, at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file, Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider the following bills. Senate File 20, 10, 37, 64, 33, 38, 23, House Joint Resolution 12, Senate File 12, 60, 25, 6, 34, 63, 31, 102, 70, 117, 35, 36, 46, 77, 94, 106, and 4.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Crone.
Please remain standing. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. First of all, before we get started, just a quick fun fact. This day in history, 1903, Buffalo Bill Cody founded the IRMA, had his first budget put together, and the Appropriations Committee cut it in half. 1903. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 20. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 20 from the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance, eliminating the reduction of recapture payments for school districts levying more than the statewide average mill levy for the repayment of bonded indebtedness and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 20, school finance, excess mill levy rebate, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yeagy, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Pipirinen, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Patton, Chairman, further reviewed by your Appropriations Committee number 2, to whom is referred Senate File 20, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Northrup?
Mr. Speaker, I move that Senate File number 20 and ask her for your favorable consideration. Senate File 20, is a cleanup bill. If you look at section one on page one, it's a nice single page bill right now. That we're asking for 2113-102G is to be repealed. This is the ability for districts to be able to levy and be repayment on bond indebtedness. And bond indebtedness is like we used to do when we used to build schools within your particular district. And so with that, I call for the question.
Question has been called. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Back on the bill.
Oh, thank you. I messed that up.
I'm sorry. Representative Freeman, did you want to comment before? Okay. Senate File 20 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises report. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
The reading clerk will read the bill. Senate File 10.
Senate File 10 from the Education Committee, an act relating to government administration, eliminating the position of a director of the Department of Education, transferring specified duties to the state superintendent in accordance with powers versus state, accordingly conforming law, specifying application, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 10, Education Administration-1, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yeagie, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Northrup, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Northrup?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises report, do so with the recommendation that bill number, or Senate File number 20, do pass. And with an explanation of the bill, I present to you this great representative from where the waters are green.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a thick bill, but it only does one thing. 2 years ago, we were on this floor and we debated a bill that Senate File 104. A year ago, the state Supreme Court in Powers versus State said that law was illegal. What we're doing today is Senate File 104 took out the superintendent of school and put the director of schools in, and what Senate File 10 does today is to revert all that language back. And if there's no questions, I call for the question.
Is there any further debate? Seeing none, question being called, all those in favor of Vice Chairman Northrup's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 10 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 10 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is Senate File 37. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 37 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to administration of government, specifying powers and duties of the Department of Enterprise Technology Services over data privacy, specifying that department data privacy policies and standards shall be the minimum privacy requirements adhered to by state agencies, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 37, State Protection of Data Privacy, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so the recommendation that Senate File 37 do pass, and I would turn it over to the good minority floor leader for floor management. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is the first in a series of bills that you will see that come out of the data privacy task force that we created in the last session. We worked hard over the interim. It's going to be a long-term process. Essentially, all this bill does is put in ETS the responsibility for developing policies to maintain privacy of any data that the state holds that is entitled to be kept private under law, so that we have consistent policies across the board to protect data security. And this is just data that's held by state agencies that's already in their possession. And it's a pretty simple bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any further debate?
Seeing none, question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 37 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 37 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 64. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 64 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act, amending eligibility as specified, extending the sunset date, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension, respectfully reports same back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, one no vote, Representative Edmonds, signed by Representative Larson, Vice Chairman. Further reviewed by your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 64, report same back for the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 64 do pass. There is a House Standing Committee 2 that was not done by our committee. Appropriations? Well, my understanding is I don't have it. Okay, there may not be. Okay. I thought the reading.
Chairman Harvey, it doesn't appear there's an amendment.
Thank you. My mistake, and I apologize for that. So with no standing committees, I would turn the explanation of the bill over to Representative Baldwin.
Representative Baldwin.
Thank you much, Mr. Chairman. In my short time here, I've learned to never say there's such a thing as a simple bill, and I've learned to say that there's no such thing as a no-brainer. But with those terms in mind, this is a very short bill. This bill concerns the program called WIP. WIP stands for Wyoming Health Insurance Pool. This program was created to be the insurer of last resort for those who have no access to insurance. It essentially consists of two groups. Number one group is the non-disabled, those who have been denied access to health insurance on the private market. The second group is the disabled, those under 65 on Medicare who use WIP as a supplement to Medicare. This bill comes about as a byproduct of some of the things that the Affordable Care Act has done. The result of the Affordable Care Act inception is that these groups are starting to change. The disabled group has actually slightly climbed since 2011. It's gone up from a number of 548 members to 804 members in 2014, as opposed to the non-disabled population has gone from 2011, 453 members down to, in 2014, 177 members. What this bill does is essentially gives the insurance commissioner the authority to disenroll members who have reasonable access to health insurance, and mostly that's the non-disabled members. As they're able to get on the exchange, they've been able to access health care, and it enables the commissioner to disenroll those people. Secondly, it gives anyone disenrolled 90 days prior notice that they will be taken off of the bill, and that gives them time to go out on the marketplace and find something. The third ability is that it gives the commissioners the ability to re-enroll anyone who went out on the market and they were unable to obtain insurance at a reasonable expense. And part of that is looking toward the future. If there's any changes they will not be able to enroll, that they will lose that ability to enroll, the commissioner will be able to re-enroll them. With that, I leave you this short bill and encourage you to vote aye for it.
Any further discussion? Speaker Pro Tem Sepson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. You know, we had talked for a number of years that this program would probably just go away given the elimination of the ability to exclude people because of pre-existing conditions. And looking on the extension of the sunset on page 3, I'm just wondering, that disabled population that is now appears to be the focus of this program, was there discussion about why they can't be insured elsewhere? And if is that, I mean, are we looking at insuring those people under WIP for the foreseeable future? And if so, what's the purpose of continuing to have a sunset date on it?
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, the ACA has been an ever elusive target with changes in rules, regs, et cetera. One of the things that is online right now is a lawsuit that may remove the ability for people in our state to buy health insurance, or actually to get the subsidy for the health insurance through the marketplace. And so it was the feeling of our committee that we needed to have some mechanism alive that we could move quickly with to be able to ensure that Wyoming people could be insured. And if they couldn't afford without the subsidy, is there a way that we could remodel this program? And so we felt like keeping the program alive was a lot better than trying to redesign the wheel again at a later date. There's very little activity in this WIP pool. We don't anticipate a lot of activity in this insurance plan, but we don't want to recreate the wheel in case the wheels fall off of the bus that seems to be coming out of D.C.
Representative Eklund.
I just have a question, and I don't know how quickly it could be answered, but is this... are the rates for this Wyoming pool of reasonable rates? Are they high if they do have pre-existing conditions or whatever? Is it a reasonable deal for Wyoming people?
Chairman Harvey.
The historic use of this is that it is not an affordable plan for most people. It's the mechanism that we want to keep alive. Because of the law changes and the inability for insurance companies to exclude you due to a pre-existing condition. So this is just, it's just an empty car sitting on the used car lot waiting in case the Cadillac breaks down. It's just an empty vehicle to be able to use at a later date. And then if we want to paint it up and clean it up and change the oil and spark plugs, then we can, and it will work because it has been proven to work in the past. So it's just keeping the program alive in case we need it when the Cadillac breaks down.
Any further discussion on Senate File 64? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 37 do pass, or 64 do pass, please say aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 64 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 33 from Corporations, an act relating to elections, amending provisions related to the election of precinct committeemen and committee women, amending the certification and notice requirements for precinct elections, establishing a term of office, amending county central committee meeting requirements, specifying those precinct committeemen and committee women who qualify to vote to fill vacancies in office, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom it was referred, Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Elections, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye: Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanenser. Signed by Dan Zwanenser, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanenser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 33 do pass. I would further move the Standing Committee Amendment and turn over the management of the bill to the good representative from House District 1.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to go over this bill with the body, and then I'll get on to the Standing Committee Amendment once we get towards the back of the bill, if that's okay with the chair.
That's just fine. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the real meat of the bill starts on page 2, where we strike out that the county clerk has to issue a certificate of election to the precinct man and women after they've been elected. Part of the reason behind that is this is for party elections, and this is just during the primary, and it's kind of become to be burdensome to the county clerks, and that's the main reason behind a lot of this. A lot of these amendments in here is just to make it a little easier for the clerks, and it kind of clears up some information. So on page 3, we go into no later than 45 days after the date of the primary election, the county canvassing board or canvassing board appointed by the county clerk consisting of 2 electors and the county clerk shall provide each county chairman a certified election results for precinct man and woman and a list of persons who received write-in votes for precinct committee man and woman in those write-in votes resulted in a tie. 2 things are going on here. We give them 45 days for the county clerks instead of having to hurry up and rush and count all those write-in votes, because there are a lot of write-in votes that happen in precinct man and woman elections. We give them 45 days to collate all those names and count them all and find out if somebody has actually been elected in that precinct man or woman race. And then we also, by getting rid of on page 2, the notification that the county clerk has to do for precinct man or woman, we get rid of that notification. Now we put it up to the county chair for whichever party you're in to notify those precinct newly elected precinct men and women that they've just been elected. And then by doing that, we return that authority back to the party. I mean, this is a party position. Going on, so on the bottom of page 3, under E, line 16, except for the term beginning after the canvass of the 2014 primary election, the terms of the offices for all precinct men and women shall be 2 years and shall begin on the first Monday in January of the year following the election. That's changed because your term as a precinct man or woman, as it stands right now, without this bill enacted, starts as soon as the canvassing board finishes their work. So that's usually, you know, somewhere in the middle of August. Right then and there, you're a precinct committee person. So now we're saying the first Monday in January of the next January is when your term begins, and it's a 2-year term. It'll go January to January. And that gives some time, some cleanup time, where if you're a newly elected precinct person, instead of immediately, boom, hey, my friends wrote my name in for something I have no idea about, which happens often. But there's a lot of people that take this position seriously, don't get me wrong, and it should be taken seriously because of the duties they perform. You've got a couple-month window right there that you can figure out what that job entails, how to do it, and how to do it best. Turning on to page 4, we strike some language under 22.4.104. We strike out, county chairman has received notice from the county clerk that all of its members have been certified elected, and insert term of its members begins. Turn on to page 5. Nothing there. Page 6. Page 6, and this is where we're going to get into the Standing Committee Amendment, folks. Inserted there, and I'm going to go ahead and start on line 8 on page 6. Only those persons serving as committee man and committee woman at least 30 days prior to the vacancy or the vacancy occurs. Now, this is talking about if a vacancy occurs, county sheriff, something like that, your precinct men and women from your party, whichever that vacancy occurred, will appoint 3 members
to go before the county commissioners. And those county commissioners will pick their person to fill that vacancy. Okay? So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about this vacancy. Occurs within 30 days after, and we strike a primary election including precinct men and women elected at the primary. That's struck. And then insert the first Monday in January in odd-numbered years, those precinct men and committee women elected at the immediate past primary election and those selected prior to December 2nd of the year in which the election occurred for vacant positions shall be authorized to vote under this paragraph. That standing committee amendment deletes all of that. Here's why. Here's what's going to happen under this situation. All of a sudden, you're going to have, say a vacancy occurs in that January, you've got newly elected precinct people. Those newly elected precinct people were elected by the voters in their precinct to represent them. Well, if we've got prior precinct committee men and women, under this amended section, those people would come in and vote also. Now, the idea behind that is because the new precinct men and women didn't really, they're new. They don't really know what they're doing. And that's why I ask you to adopt the standing committee amendment, because those precinct men and women were elected by their precinct. They know what they're doing. I would akin it to you coming down here and one of these members of this body comes down here, and because you don't really know what you're doing in your first 30 days as a freshman, you're going to be accompanied by by the person you just replaced to vote with you. That's why we're striking that language. It's cumbersome, burdensome, and it kind of flies in the face of the voters in that precinct. With that, I would ask for your aye vote on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
We're on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Standing Committee Number 1, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Amendment passes. We're back on the bill. Representative or Chairman Zwanzer, Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just want to move committee of the whole amendment number 1 to Senate File 33 and ask for its favorable introduction. Now that that standing committee amendment has passed, if you go back to page 4, we just have to rework the section a little bit and reinsert the words the county chairman has. And it's going to read now, just to read the sentence to you. Within 30 days after the county chairman has received the certified election results of all members elected to the committees. So no longer is the county clerk responsible for this. They're just responsible for certifying the election results. The county chairs are going to have the responsibility should there be two write-in votes that each have two people get written in and each have two votes each. It's going to be up to the counties, not the county clerk now, to determine who that precinct person is going to be. And so this just ensures that the election results are certified. The county clerks don't have any responsibility on certifying who actually gets elected to those precinct seats. And I'd be happy to answer any questions on that.
We're on committee of the whole, amendment number 1. Any further discussion? Question being called on committee of the whole, amendment number 1. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Amendment passes. Back on the bill. Any further debate on Senate File 33? Question being called. All those in favor. Oh, sorry. I apologize.
Sorry.
Oh, Chairman Madden was first. So, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is involving the language that you've got on page 3, starting around line 11 and going to line 14. And I've got some scenarios there that hopefully you follow here. You know, it says here that a list of persons who, it says here, shall provide each county chairman the election results for precinct committee man and committee woman, women, and a list of persons who received write-in votes for precinct committee men or women, if those write-in votes resulted in a tie. Now, one scenario would be that if we had somebody that wasn't a write-in candidate, ended up with a couple of write-in challengers that happened to be tied. Is this really what you mean? That if the person that won the precinct race was on the ballot with his name, is it necessary to have someone that or a couple of people that tied but were far below or below them in the number of votes? Whether that has to be submitted. Now, the other scenario is if you had two, let's say you had two write-ins, and they both won. I mean, they both had the highest votes, and somebody else actually had their name on the ballot, but because of his unpopularity or something, he came in third. Maybe you would want to submit a list of those write-in votes in a tie, but then it isn't clear on what's a precinct or what's the county chairman supposed to do with a couple of tied votes if it hasn't been decided. So I kind of wonder if what you've got here really covers what you think you've got. If you could,
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is regarding that same paragraph, but up a little bit on line 9. And possibly this is provided for elsewhere. I just would like it clarified. It says, the county canvassing board or a canvassing board appointed by the county clerk consisting of two electors and the county clerk. And I'm just wondering who chooses these electors? Are they appointed by some parties or just randomly selected, or how do they get there?
Chairman's answer, Dan.
Thanks. Let me respond to the former question. I'll let the floor manager respond to the good chairman's question. Currently now the county clerk appoints a canvassing board of three people. In my county it's herself, and they have to be from the other major political parties. So currently right now this cycle we have four major political parties that just formed, but 2 years ago we just had, you know, you would know the Republican and the Democratic Party. We now have four major political parties. So the county clerk's responsible for choosing two people of separate major political parties. The thought was on this one is that you may not be able to find the same two people you have exactly the week of the election. So your primary election, you know, is in the third week of August. She selects two people. We didn't want it to necessarily be the exact same two people, let's say one's on vacation, et cetera, when the precinct people are certified, possibly a month later.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if I could answer the question was first asked, and I'm hoping I'm getting this right. I might have misunderstood the question. But the way I understood what your question was, if a write-in vote basically beats somebody that was actually on the ballot, and if that's the case, write-in vote wins. As long as it's been certified and gone through the county clerk process, write-in vote wins. And that's in every election on a poll that would take place.
Chairman Madden.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Here's what I asked. If you have Mr. A petitioned and got on the ballot, so his Mr. A's name appears Mr. A, and we have Mr. B and Mr. C that both were write-ins, and they both had the same number of votes, as indicated here, if those write-in votes resulted in a tie. The way the language looks is that what has to be reported to the precinct or the county chairman is Mr. A won, and then also you need to submit that B and C tied below him. And then you got the other scenario is if Mr. A was on the ballot, but he wasn't elected, he had the third most votes, and B and C were both tied for first. You know, to me it makes no sense if Mr. A, who was on the ballot, actually won, that you would need to have B and C turned in because they were a tie. If they're one vote apart, the way this reads, you don't have to. But if you're tied, then you have to turn in those names that finished respectively tied for second.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for repeating the question. So if in the first scenario, Mr. A is on the ballot and he wins, and Mr. B and Mr. C were write-ins and they tie, it doesn't matter, Mr. A wins no matter what. Under the second scenario, let me explain a little bit. So under that first scenario with Mr. A winning,
we really have nothing, as far as the county party is concerned, we really have nothing to do with those write-in votes. It's certified results at that point, and the only person's name we're concerned about is Mr. A, if Mr. A were to win. Now, under the second scenario where Mr. A loses and Mr. B and Mr. C tie for first place, that's a county party function at that point, and most likely the executive committee is going to, it'll be written into the bylaws, and each bylaw is different for whatever county you live in, but it's written into the bylaws how that's handled. As example, in my county, that would be handled in a situation where the executive committee would appoint between the two tie votes.
Chairman Mann.
If Mr. A won, and you read, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you read starting on line 11 there, Mr. A wins, and it says that provide to each county chairman the certified election results. Okay, the results would include the fact Mr. A won, or for committee man or committee woman. And it says you need to supply a list of persons who received write-in votes for that position if those write-in votes resulted in a tie. All right, these are the guys that tied for second, and the guy won. What's the logic of having that information sent out as opposed to if your two write-in votes was one vote ahead of the other one, then the way you read this literally is you don't have to turn that in. If that's what you want to do, fine, but it just doesn't. I don't think it makes sense the way it's written now.
Chairman Swanson, Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can see that scenario in practice and reality. If you have someone on the ballot and they win the election, I would assume the county clerk would not submit the write-in votes, even if they resulted in a tie for if people tried to write people in. Yes, I would say the letter of the law would say that, the spirit of the law, that wouldn't actually happen. So I may go talk to LSO and see if we can craft a better wording of that section to ensure that situation wouldn't happen. But if it did happen, I guess I don't actually see a problem with it happening. It would be, five more minutes of work on the county clerk's part to say, by the way, these people tied, if they actually wanted to follow the letter of the law there. But let me go see if we can tighten that language on second reading, and we'll bring an amendment back.
Any further discussion on Senate File 33? Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 33 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 33 is passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 38 from Senator Case, an act relating to controlled substances, providing for deferred prosecution for the first offense of using or being under the influence of a controlled substance, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 38, Controlled Substances, First Offense for Possession, respectfully reports saying back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Croker, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 38 do pass, and Representative Croker will explain the bill.
Vice Chairman Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 38 is a very simple bill. It is only three lines long. But let me give a little background on why this is necessary and the flaw in our statute that it corrects. Right now, if someone is convicted of a drug crime, the two lowest levels of crime are possession and use. Possession is a higher crime and use is a lower crime. Right now, under current law, which is on page 2, line 3, that statute that's referenced there, that is possession. If someone is convicted of possession, they are eligible for a discharge of their offense if they are a first offender. But if they are convicted of use, which is a lower crime, they are not. And this has actually resulted in a weird scenario where you have certain people that are pleading up to a higher crime because they want to be eligible for a discharge of their first offense. And that shouldn't ever happen. You shouldn't ever go in and cut a plea to be charged with a higher crime. And so it only makes sense to just add what the language does is it just adds use to the statute as well. So if you're convicted of use, which is a lower crime, you are eligible for discharge of a first offense. And that's exactly what the bill does. I'll stand for any questions. If there are none, I'll call for the question.
Any further discussion on Senate File 38? Seeing none and question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 38 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 38 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 23. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 23 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to enhanced oil and gas recovery, amending the formal name of the Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission, specifying the school at the University of Wyoming that will conduct commission-related tasks, clarifying and amending the scope of the commission's authority and obligations, amending definitions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 23, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 23 do pass, and I will turn the explanation over to the good representative from House District 44.
Mr. Minority Caucus Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the legislature of the House, today I bring you a nice bill, Senate File 23. Basically, this is a cleanup bill. The Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission amendments. It is very short and very self-explanatory. I will walk through the bill real quick. If we go to page 3, which is actually the first set of changes, we're just changing some names here from institute and putting into statute the School of Energy Resources. The important thing is if we move down to line 15, through 20 on page 3, we are adding a definition of what they and some direction in what they should do. Basically, facilitate meaningful, measurable increase in recoverable reserves and production of oil, natural gas, etc. into the title and direction of what they do. Some more cleanup work. We're just changing name from institute and taking that out of there. And so all it is basically a cleanup bill and some direction for the enhanced oil recovery. And with that, I stand for questions, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion on Senate File 23? Seeing none and question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 23 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 23 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next resolution.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Proceed.
Again, we have the extra fifth grade class from Pioneer Park up here in our south balcony. That would be to my right, your left. And please welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. Any other privileges? Oh,
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, members, it's not very often we get folks here from Casper. You know, the license plate, number one on your license plate, number one in your heart. And we have students here from Roosevelt High School in Casper, and their teacher, Michelle Nicole. So welcome to the house. Thank you.
Welcome to the house. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 2. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 2 from the Appropriations Committee, an act, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to authorize the investment of state funds not designated as permanent funds of the state in equities upon a two-thirds vote of both houses and the legislature. Mr. Chairman, the committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 2 engrossed investment of state funds, respectfully reports sent back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Just taking a quick TV timeout. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Knocking the dust off, members. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rise to report that it do so with the recommendation that Senate Joint Resolution 2 do pass. And Mr. Chairman, basically we've talked about this bill, and it's been an interim piece of work by our Joint Appropriations Committee that we want to take a certain percentage or a certain group of non-constitutionally protected funds, non-permanent funds, and be able to change some of the investment strategy on those funds to allow the investment in equities. And we would decide which funds and ultimately decide in this body what percentage of the funds and those kind of things. So, Mr. Chairman, so as you look through the bill, then you can see Mr. Chairman, you can go through, and the language, the new language that we put in is on the bottom of page 2, and it will take a two-thirds vote by the members of both houses, and then, Mr. Chairman, really it's a pretty simple simple bill, and we've talked about it before, so I'd stand for any questions.
Mr. Chairman, is there, or Chairman Harshman, is there a standing committee amendment, or has that been dealt with?
I don't think I've dealt with that, Mr. Chairman. I'm really trying to make a technological leap here, as you can see. And I'm
using your fruit?
And it's not. No, this is actually non-fruit, and that is part of the problem. And so I'm moving back and forth here. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think the language that we inserted really in our would just brought clarification on our standing committee amendment would be that the majority of both houses voting separately, because the way it was originally worded really didn't specify that. And really, to be clear and constitutional, it's the majority of both houses of the legislature voting separately. So that's the amendment, and I'd move for the standing committee amendment and call for the question if there are no questions.
We're on the standing committee amendment. Is there any discussion on the standing committee amendment? Seeing none. Oh, Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just think on the standing committee amendment, I want to make it just maybe a little bit more of a point of clarification. When you look at page 3 of the bill, we had the legislature may prescribe different investment conditions for each fund, and there's a period. Then it goes down and said any legislation establishing or increasing the percentage of any fund that may be invested shall pass by a two-thirds vote of both houses voting separately. What we were concerned of when this came back was that the intent of prescribing different investment conditions for each fund was intended to be a majority, not that two-thirds. And so the amendment just makes it clear that it's a majority of each house voting separately. And then then we step down to the increased standard for changing or increasing the percentage of any fund is a two-thirds of each house voting separately. So that was a purpose. It was just a clarifying point. Thank you.
We're on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the question on the Standing Committee Number 1. All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment carries. We're back on the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, it says on 14 and 15, it says that we're authorized for retirement system funds and permanent funds and equities, such as stock or shares in private or public companies. Permanent funds of the state include, and they give this list, and I'm wondering if there's any permanent funds we have that aren't on this list and aren't able to take advantage of equities. And I think we had a talk on the Wildlife Conservation or Wildlife Trust Fund, and you know, it just occurs to me, if we really can't invest in equities for a fund like that, we should try to put that in the, well, maybe this does cover it, I don't know. But I just want to make sure, as long as we're going to the trouble of putting this on the ballot, that we've got all permanent funds encompassed by this.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the good chairman's pointing to existing language. So this is the public employee retirement and permanent funds deals with existing language, and the Wildlife Trust Fund isn't a permanent fund. It is, even though it's a trust fund, it's not constitutionally established, so it's not a permanent fund. And so that's exactly the point of this amendment, is to deal, for example, with the LSRA, with the Wildlife Trust Fund, with the Cultural Trust Fund, with all of those other funds that are out there. So that's the point of it. And there is a list of, and I'm trying to find it right now, there of permanent funds kind of by example in here. And one thing you can see, that it, just to touch again on the Standing Committee Amendment, if you look at the description on page 3 and 4, initially it had listed a number of the permanent funds that are in there, but we've cut all that out. We've really simplified the language just to say, so now that line 20 through 23 just says permanent funds of the state are funds designated as permanent funds by the Constitution, just so we can make that clear for the voters, because really trying to shorten it up, make it as simple as possible so the voters can understand it when they're voting on it.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And high finance is not my forte, but this is a major policy shift, and it's not that I don't support it, but I think it needs to be pretty well understood and explained out in the public if you want to get it support. And the question I guess I have is, you know, particularly with the LISRA, which is kind of our account that we will use, our rainy day account. That's how it's always described, our rainy day account. You know, will these new type of investments, if we need that 1 year, will these type of investments be better situated to take into account that we may need a lot of that in 1 year, as opposed to the way it's invested currently, in a more long-term, you know, bond structure? So I'd just like a little discussion, a little explanation from the committee on how this was generated and why we think this is a good idea. Other than it makes more money, that's great, but if we have to pull money out, how does that affect the stability of the funds? Thank you.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And really, the point touched on is the point that if you look at the language that was added by the Senate and that we've monkeyed with a little bit, but that we may prescribe different investment conditions, That's specifically to recognize that these different kind of funds need to be managed differently depending upon the liquidity needs and those sorts of things. And so while through this constitutional amendment we've set the framework and the authority to do it, those decisions, and we'll be able, this legislature will be able to come back and say, yes, for purposes, for example, the LISRA and the Wildlife Trust Fund, we need to manage those differently. We need to maintain some liquidity in the LISRA in case we need to dip into it, and the investments need to account for that liquidity. And so we will be able to set those parameters on the authority that we give for the investment of those funds. And again, we'll be able to do that part of it by majority, but as far as the percentage of it that can be invested into equities, that will require the two-thirds vote.
Any further discussion on Senate Joint Resolution 2? Seeing none. All those in favor of Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate Joint Resolution 2 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate Joint Resolution 2 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 12. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 12 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses, creating the crimes of trespassing to unlawfully collect resource data and unlawful collection of resource data, limiting use of unlawfully collected data, providing for expungement, providing definitions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 12 engrossed, trespassing to collect data, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, and Croker, Kroon, Miller, Pinnell, and Winters. One no vote, Representative Pelkey, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 12 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And what the Standing Committee amendment does is basically try to conform with other penalties that we already have in statute. So it's changing the potential jail time up from 6 months up to 1 year, and it's changing the fine from $5,000 to $1,000. So that's the Standing Committee amendment, and I'd like your aye vote.
We're on the Standing Committee amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Standing Committee number one, please, amendment number one, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment carries. We're back on the bill. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Halverson will explain the bill.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 12 is a bill regarding criminal trespass to collect resource data. First, there's a couple of broad points you have to keep in mind. I would humbly request that you keep in mind. Resource data is property. Property in a thing does not consist not merely in its ownership and possession, but in the unrestricted right of use, enjoyment, and disposal. Anything which destroys any of these elements of property to that extent destroys the property itself. The substantial value of property lies in its use. If the right of use be denied, the value of the property is annihilated and ownership is rendered a barren right. Data is property, property is data. In the context of this bill, I give you an example of someone sneaking into your house and collecting information that includes your Social Security number. That number is data, your property. This bill does not just address trespass. When a person trespasses to collect resource data, that person is not only trespassing, he is, in effect, stealing data that is the property of the landowner. This justifies the more severe penalties than those provided for simple trespass. The Joint Judiciary Committee worked this bill hard over three of our meetings last year. In this bill, we create the crime of trespassing on your private property to collect resource data, your property, without your permission. Further, if the resource data is collected unlawfully, we provide for the expungement of this data. Let me go over the bill. Beginning on page 1, line 9, Senate File 12 creates 63414. It's an addition to the offenses against property statutes. Page 2, a person is guilty of trespassing to unlawfully collect resource data if he enters or crosses private open land for the purpose of collecting resource data without statutory, contractual, or other legal authorization, or without written or verbal permission to collect the specified resource data. Similarly, he is guilty of unlawfully collecting resource data if he enters or crosses private open land and collects data without statutory, contractual, or other legal authorization, or written or verbal permission to collect the specified data. On page 3, we outline the punishment for these crimes. Romanette 1 calls for imprisonment not more than 1 year. In committee, as you see, the amendment, we amended this from 6 months to 1 year. We also call for a fine of $1,000 or both. There will be a second reading amendment in which we will try to persuade you to revert this fine back up to $5,000. If a person has been previously convicted of unlawfully trespassing to collect resource data, we call for a punishment of imprisonment for not less than 10 days or up to 1 year and a fine of $1,000 or both. At the bottom of page 3, we define open land as land that lies outside any incorporated city, town, or subdivision. At the top of page 4, peace officer is as defined in 72101. Resource data means property relating to land use, such as agriculture, minerals, geology, history, cultural artifacts, archaeology, air, water, soil, conservation, habitat, vegetation, or animal species. We have excluded taxpayers as surveyors and tax assessors and data collected or intended to be collected by a peace officer while engaged in the lawful performance of his official duties. To our interim joint committee bill, the other body added at the top of page 5 that data collected incidental to a legally authorized recreational activity shall also be excluded, and the resource data is not used for a legal or regulatory proceeding. In other words, if I am legally, with your authorization and permission, recreating on your land, and I take pictures or pick up something off your land, my photographs are excluded from being used in any legal proceeding. The Standing Committee Amendment also calls for a slight change in verbiage to conform with previous sections, changing open private land to private open land. In subsection E, we state that no resource data collected in violation of this section is admissible as evidence in any civil, criminal, or administrative proceeding, except as in violation of this section or in a civil action against the violator. In subsection F, the bill calls for the expungement of any resource data collected which may be possessed by any governmental agency, and the data shall not be considered in any agency action. Finally, section 2 on page 6 calls for an immediate effective date. I urge your aye vote on this bill. According to testimony received in our committee, trespass to collect resource data, property, is, quote, habitual and chronic and needs to be criminalized, unquote. We heard that there are entities, both governmental and non-governmental, which repeatedly trespass to gather resource data to be used in lawsuits. Testimony was that third parties are the most flagrant violators of private property and private resource data. State and federal government employees usually attempt to obtain permission to access private property and inform the landowner of the property or resource data it seeks to obtain. Non-governmental parties most often do not. There is a need to collect accurate, credible data in order to manage our natural resources. However, the collection of data must be mindful of the rights of others, particularly private property rights. In recent years, there have been numerous instances of individuals and groups trespassing on and across private property to collect resource data. This has led to civil trespass litigation, which is costly and cumbersome for private property owners. These landowners have discovered that trespass after the data, their property, was submitted to a state agency to be utilized in administrative and regulatory decision-making processes. Testimony included a suggestion that we insert knowingly and with the intent to trespass to the trespass aspect of the bill, but the committee rejected those. It would change the burden of proof from the trespasser to the landowner and the sheriff and the prosecutor. And a higher burden of proof would discourage investigations and prosecutions under this bill. The committee heard support for the responsibility and the burden of the trespasser to know in this day and age exactly where he is. GPS units and geographic information system data layers make it easy to identify property ownership. Collected data needs to be accompanied by precise GPS coordinates. This bill very reasonably assumes that trespassers know exactly where they are. Senate File 12 does not expand the definition of trespass under state law. It only makes trespass to collect resource data, property theft, a specific offense. This bill is in response to the difficulty of prosecuting these offenses under the general criminal trespass statute. It removes the requirement of posting of land. It precludes the use of data collected in violation of the law. We address concerns about truly accidental, truly inadvertent trespass by assurances that prosecutorial discretion would be employed. However, the committee stands by the premise of the bill that any wrongfully collected data should not be used or shared or stored anywhere. The exclusion of surveyors is new in this bill. Most states already exclude surveyors in trespass laws as they go about their business of determining property boundaries and the location of survey monuments. This would actually be a first in Wyoming. You might have received emails from your constituents that this is an ag-gag bill. Please let me assure you that it is not. We have had ag-gag bills in this chamber. This is not one of them. Ag-gag laws are directed at individuals who access private property under false pretenses, such as employment, then proceed to collect data on activities on the property, such as the treatment of animals. In contrast, Senate File 12 specifically defines resource data as data relating to land use. Ag-gag laws, such as the one currently being challenged in Utah, are directed at animal processing facilities and confinement operations, unlike Senate File 12, which only applies to open land. And Senate File 12 does not stop the reporting of illegal activities so long as the evidence is gathered without trespass. Throughout our state, there's concern that resource data regarding water, air, soil, and foliage is obtained without permission or knowledge from private land and is being shared with government entities, then remaining in the public domain. This data, this private property, if not expunged, could become the foundation for a regulatory taking and could compromise private land use. The United States and Wyoming constitutions hold the ownership and protection of private property, including the right to exclude third parties, in the highest regard. The Constitution protects property rights mainly through the Fifth Amendment's takings or just compensation clause. Quote, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. There are two basic ways that government can take property. One is outright by condemning the property and taking the title, and two, through regulations that take uses of private property but leaving title with the owner, so-called regulatory takings. In the first case, the title is all too often taken not for public use, but for private use, and rarely is the compensation received by the owner just. In the second case, the owner is not compensated at all for his losses, and when he is, the compensation, again, is inadequate. As our founding father, John Adams, said, the moment the idea is admitted into society that property is not as sacred as the law of God and that there is not a force of law and public justice to protect it, anarchy and tyranny commence. As we know, the original draft of the Declaration of Independence stated life, liberty, and property. It was later changed to the pursuit of happiness, but the original word was property. According to testimony, this is a good, narrowly crafted bill, and I urge your aye vote and stand for questions.
We do have three Committee of the Whole amendments. I wanted to deal with those next, but Representative Gay, you've been standing there. Can we do the Committee of the Whole amendments first? Would that be all right? Okay. Representative Petrov.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 12, and I ask for your aye vote. What this amendment does on page 5 after line 5, and this whole section in there is dealing with what is not considered resource data, and we're adding to what is not considered resource data, information concerning the health and welfare of a domesticated animal is not considered resource data. And as the previous speaker said, we have we've received a lot of email about whether or not this is an ag gag law. I don't believe that was ever the intention of it, but there is a lot of language in there that causes some concern. We have a handout, and on the back of the handout it says, it's talking about ag gag laws, and it says, Senate File 12 specifically defines resource data as data relating to land or land use. And if you go to page 4 of the bill, line 7, it's talking about resource data means data related to land or land use, including but not limited to data regarding agriculture, and then on line 11, or animal species. And the other thing in the handout, it says that Senate File 12 does not stop the reporting of an illegal activity so long as the evidence is gathered without trespassing. But if you go to page 2, line 14, we're saying a person is guilty of unlawfully collecting resource data if he enters onto or crosses private open land and collects resource data without statutory, contractual, or other legal authorization to enter or cross the land to collect resource data. So if it's an employee, for instance, who happens to be there with permission related to their employment, they're still considered unlawfully collecting resource data if they were not specifically given permission to collect that data. And the same on the top of line 3, Romanet 2, written or verbal permission of the owner, lessee or agent of the owner to cross the land to collect the specified resource data. And even though we certainly don't condone or approve of people nefariously applying for ag jobs to try to embarrass or otherwise legally implicate anyone in ag production. We also don't want to suppress real employees who witness something from being able to come forward. And I'm afraid that this would criminalize them. Consumers are becoming increasingly concerned about the origin of their food, and we don't want to send a message that we have anything to hide in the state of Wyoming. So I encourage your I vote just to, again, make it clear that this is not an ag gag bill. Thank you.
We're on Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 12. Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I would like to gently push back on this this amendment and ask that you do not adopt it. My concern is that by putting this in here, you might actually promote trespass, and I do not support the abuse of animals. But I could give you an example on my ranch that occurs every so often when you get a very, very old horse that you just kind of let do his thing until he dies. And it's not always pleasant right at the end, and it could look like abuse, and it's not. It's just kind of letting a good friend have his last gasp. And so I worry about frivolous lawsuits that could come about from the inclusion of this amendment, and I would ask that you do not support it. Thanks.
We're on Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 12. Representative Pinnell. Or Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also would ask the same question. Is this opening door for trespass under the same guise of looking at animals to make sure that they're okie-dokie and that everything's fine? And I have to agree with the previous speaker that, you know, if you have an old horse that was your best buddy until his last days, you just decide, well, rather than shoot him in the head, you let him just run it out. And so I'd like to be able to do that. Thank you.
Representative Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm also opposed to the amendment. There are laws in place that can deal with these incidents where you have animal cruelty and things of that nature. The individual can go to local law enforcement and talk to them, and they can get the evidence and get a search warrant. There's lots of things that can be done. So this, as it stands right now, this bill basically violates the rights of the landowner, so I'm definitely against the amendment. Thank you.
We're on Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 12. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pushing back against this amendment, agriculture is what we're talking about. Agriculture producers that do have land, do have animals out there, they're not going to prosecute their own employees for going out and ensuring that the animal's health is still good. They're not going to be prosecuted for the treatment or welfare of said animal either. These are their employees. I view this amendment as frivolous language, and I ask you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Petroff, or Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so I would just say, you know, if it's frivolous language, then let's go ahead and include it to make it very clear that we're not going to prosecute an employee who happens to come up with information concerning the health and welfare of a domesticated animal. This isn't this doesn't have anything to do with animal welfare. This has to do with the person who's reporting resource data and criminalizing that behavior. So I encourage your I vote on the amendment.
Any further discussion on Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1? Question being called. All those in favor of adopting Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 fails. We'll move to Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 2. Representative Howerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 2, and ask for your favorable consideration. This was just delivered this morning from some lawyers downstairs, and this makes them happy, so that makes us happy. On page 2, line 1, we will delete or crosses private. This broadens the bill to include state land, and it was unclear before this amendment whether or not state land was included. Going down again on page 2, line 7, We delete the word cross and insert access. Line 15, we delete or crosses. Line 19, we delete or cross. And then we insert private, the private land, to collect specified resource data. On page 3, line 2, again, we scratch out or cross. And on page 3, after line 20, we're going to insert collect means to take a sample of material, acquire, gather, photograph, or otherwise preserve information in any form from open land which is submitted or intended to be submitted to any agency of the state or federal government. And then we just renumber. So if there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them. If not, I will call for the question on the Second Amendment.
We're on Committee of the Whole, Amendment number 2 to Senate File 12. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question and one concern with the amendment. It has to deal with the very first line. And so page 2, line 1, where we cross out the private there. And it looks like, so as I've got the structure of the bill, this is the separate offense of unlawfully trespassing to unlawfully collect resource data. And as you look, starting on A on page 1 and going all the way through subpart I and subpart double I, then that leaves out any reference to private at all. And it seems to me like you could, by deleting that, now you can violate this even by going onto public land and collecting resource data. So I don't think that was probably the intent, but I just wanted to ask the sponsor about that.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We were assured by the folks from downstairs that inserting the private on page 2, line 19, accomplished what we wanted, and by crossing it out on line 1 of page 2, that accomplishes what they wanted to accomplish. But if you need further clarification, we will go have another luncheon and see if we can't straighten that out for you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't think that actually does it, because that's a different offense where we add private in down on line 19. But I'm not going to speak against the amendment. I think the changes are good, and I think we could probably come back if we need to and fix that on a second reading.
Representative Walters. Oh, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't a person be able to have a statutory right to enter onto public land? And I think that might solve the problem.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I deal with this issue. I deal with all of the components of this issue in my daily life. Actually, it's a relief not to be dealing with it today, but here we are. Actually, crossing the private land is one of the biggest problems we do have. Folks that trespass on land that I may own to get to someone else's property. Had that conversation last week with a representative of an entity wanting to do exactly that. And I said, not only no, but no. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to spend some time to make sure this is, well, I understand what this says, but crossing our land to get to someone else's lands is part of the biggest part of the issue, in my view. Not an insignificant issue, the biggest part of the issue where I work and live. Thank you.
We're on Committee of the Whole, Amendment number 2 to Senate File 12. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage you to defeat this amendment, going along with the same lines of the previous speaker. That first line on the amendment over cross is private. By deleting that, it really does take away from what some of the protections that are needed in this, and goes back to just what he was saying, crossing your private property to get to other to access other lands is really a big deal. So I would urge you to defeat this amendment.
Representative Blackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering here on line 18 of the amendment where we talk about submitted or intended to be submitted to any agency of the state or federal government, why it's restricted just to the state and federal government. Why we're not talking about cities and counties on here. We might want to think about putting that in there. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kind of in, along the same lines as the previous speaker, I guess I need some more explanation on Romanet I, collect meaning, and then go down to line 18, is submitted or intended to be submitted to any agency of the state or federal government. I think that's kind of very limiting this. This is to solve the problem, people just randomly collecting data and doing something with it. And I think this is limiting, you know, the control by defining collect in that manner. And I guess I'd like to hear from some of the legal minds in the room of what that actually means and what restrictions that places on this. Thank you.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just urge us to defeat this amendment. I think it kind of guts the bill, and I think we should just vote it down. Thank you.
Any further discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 to Senate File 12? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to throw in one last collection because it does sound like we're working our way into a second reading amendment here. But on the amendment on line 19, in addition to the public agencies, and I don't personally have too much experience with this, but it seems to me that we don't want to leave the people the giant loophole of collecting a lot of information and then submitting it to the press and thus saying, well, just because I spread this all over all sorts of news articles, I haven't submitted it to the government, so therefore I'm off. I think we might want to consider that as well.
We're on Committee of the Whole, Amendment number 2 to Senate File 12. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole, Amendment number 2, please signify by saying aye. All opposed, no.
No.
The motion fails. The amendment fails. We'll move on to Committee of the Whole, Amendment number 3. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 3 to Senate File 12. The good bringer of the, I guess, who brought the bill mentioned this bill. This amendment was brought during the committee. And what it does is it clarifies exactly who is guilty of this offense. And it basically it creates a knowingly obligation. In other words, you have to knowingly cross or enter on private property before you can be guilty of this crime. And there's several different reasons to do this. And so I need to back up a little bit because, you know, in criminal law you have general offenses and you have specific offenses. And a general offense is if you kind of do something even by accident, you're still guilty of it. And that's just kind of a simplified version, but if it's a specific intent crime, you have to have the intent to commit the crime. So, for example, if you're a geologist and you walk out, particularly if you take the definition of open land as it's defined in here, you walk out of town and you see a rock formation and there's no fence, and you walk over that and you take a sample of the rock and you put it in your pocket and you walk off the land, you just committed a crime. And it doesn't matter if it's fenced or if there's no trespassing sign or if you're a photographer. Under the bill as it's drafted now, if you hop out of your car when you're driving across the plains and there's no fence and you get out and you take a picture of an antelope, that's a crime under this law as it's drafted. So my point is you need to knowingly go out there to access information which you're not going to have permission to do with an intent to violate the act. In other words, you need the intent to go out there and obtain information that you're going to use against those private landowners. Because if otherwise this thing is so broad and so general that there are lots of examples that I can come up with where you're committing a crime and you don't even know you're committing a crime. And you know, and if you look at the definition of open lands, You could be anywhere in the state of Wyoming almost if you drive between, say, you know, the Muddy Gap and the Wind Rivers. Almost none of that's fenced. And how do you know if you're on private land or public land? You just don't know. And trust me, most of us don't travel with a GPS in our pocket. And assuming that you do travel with a GPS in your pocket, you don't have the land. You can't go to the city, the county courthouse and figure out who owns what parcel of land you're on. This says you have to know all those things. And I just don't think that's the intent of our open spaces, our open laws, that that's what we want to do. We want to prevent people abusing private property rights for access to perform criminal acts, not to just be rock hounds who are out walking around looking for agates. And so we just need to be careful on how we draft this. And then the bringer said, well, we're going to rely on prosecutorial discretion. Well, why did we just pass the civil forfeiture bill? Because we don't really trust prosecutorial discretion. Plus, we're creating a crime when there isn't a crime. And so we just have to be careful when we create crimes that are so broad that half of us, or particularly our kids driving out in the middle of nowhere, are going to be violating it. And so we just need to be careful about it. This just makes it a specific intent crime so that so we can prosecute the people that commit a crime, but the people that don't know they're committing a crime and who don't do something just because they're out on a picnic, they shouldn't be prosecuted for it. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge your no vote on this amendment. This amendment changes this bill from a strict liability crime. And we've rejected this several times over the course of the interim and most recently in committee here. We want very, very carefully to put the burden of proof on the trespasser. This amendment shifts the burden of proof to the landowner and to law enforcement. And that puts us right back where we are now. As long as law enforcement and the landowner are going to have the burden of proof, sheriff's deputies are not going to respond to possible trespass complaints. Prosecutors aren't going to trespass, and this is precisely what this bill is intending to turn around, to put the burden of proof on the trespasser, and I urge your no vote.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question for the bringer of the amendment. You know, how do you define knowingly? I guess that's basically what it boils down to in my mind. Sure, if you're out on the open plains and there's nothing there, but what if there's a fence that goes across those open plains? You know, very likely that could be just two pastures in a BLM allotment or a federal allotment, so it could all be fine. But so when is knowingly coming? How do you define knowingly? Who defines that in the case of this amendment? Would that be a court? Or I guess that's the question I'd have.
We're on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 12. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of the amendment. And just a little bit of pushback to the my former colleague on the Judiciary Committee, that we did work very hard on this bill, and we had lots of discussion on it. But this amendment, I actually think, gets to some of that compromise that we talked about all summer long, and that we wanted to make sure that there was a balance between protecting landowner rights, which was honestly kind of primary in our mind, but also thinking about the innocent trespasser in some kind of way, and that this amendment takes care of it. And I'm sure the good attorney who brought this can discuss this more thoroughly, but knowingly is a term in the law and is one that's regularly used and evaluated by the courts. So again, I'm in favor of this amendment. I think it very much goes to the spirit of what we talked about this summer.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill, it's a very good bill. It is absolutely your responsibility to know whose land and what land you're on, and we should in no way take that away. Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also on and against the amendment. It seems to me on the top of page 2, where we say that the offense is entering the land for the purpose of collecting resource data. Now, I visualize a person going to my land where I was happy to have gone up to camp this last weekend when we head off. If a person is wandering about my land, I don't know, photographing or doing whatever, it's not very exciting up there other than beautiful, and then they do something with that data, turn it into somewhere, I don't see how they can really say that they didn't know where they were or what they were doing, because they have just proven by their subsequent actions that they knew perfectly well what they were doing. And if a person came onto my land and photographed and did this or that or whatever, and I confronted them and they said, oh, I didn't know where I was, then they go away and they still have all the information that they took. They just pretended that they didn't know where they were. So it seems to me that this amendment just makes the whole thing way more convoluted and kind of pointless. So I would urge a no vote.
We're on Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 12. Representative Eklund.
I'm also against the amendment. It just shifts the whole bill from one place to another, and I think anybody could plead ignorance, well, I didn't know. And that has to be proven. If I'm understanding this language we're going to insert in here, that's what we're going to be proving rather than to try to stop the trespassing as the bill is intended. And so I don't see that this will accomplish what we want at all.
Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little bit of pushback to one of the guys I grew up with back home on this amendment. I guess I stand in opposition to the amendment, too, for the simple reason that you can go to almost any store, outdoor store in this state or any other state, and buy a little chip and put it in your GPS, and it will tell you exactly where you are and whose land you are on. And that data is frequently updated. Hunters use it all the time, and they'll get in arguments with the landowner and say, by golly, I do have permission to be here. So that is available, and it's widely used, so people do know where they are.
Further debate on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 12. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I know where this amendment's going to go. just first of all, the bringer talked about strict liability, and let's just think about that a little bit. This actually is changing the trespass laws of the state of Wyoming to some degree, at least in terms of what resource data means. That means that you don't have to fence out, and you know we're a fence out state. So if if your horse runs off and runs through another someone else's pasture that's not fenced off, it's not your responsibility. So this is kind of changing the whole tenor of Wyoming law and our trespass law. So I don't know if the committee sat down and did a kind of a cross line on exactly what this means to 200 years of common law and trespass law and 100 years in the state of Wyoming, because it really does do some fundamental changes to it. And if what you're asking for is strict liability for anyone that trespasses on your property and yet you don't have an obligation to fence out, that's changing the law a heck of a lot. And so I think we need to be careful about it. And then if you go look at the definition of what open land means, that means anything outside of a city. That means if there's no fence when you walk out your town and you walk on someone's private land, you're immediately liable. And what that means, you're guilty before you prosecute it. That's what strict liability means. So what you want is that you're guilty. You have to prove yourself innocent. You don't have the opportunity. You're guilty when you're there. And so whether you know it or not, you're guilty of trespass or of this crime because they didn't fence you out or you didn't provide them notice. And I just don't think that's ever been the intent of what our trespass laws in Wyoming are. And we just got to be awful careful about how we go down this path.
Any further discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3? Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 3 to Senate File 12, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Committee of the Whole, Amendment number 3 fails. We're back on the bill. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be quick, and I can take the answer to this question offline. But I've been asked to consult with the members of the Good Committee number 1. Was there a lot of discussion about whether this would have any effect on the mineral estate being dominant? I think the legal authorization ensures that if somebody with a right to the mineral estate, has complied with the Split Estate Act, that they should have the right to go on the property. But I just wanted that confirmed.
Representative Hallerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in answer to the previous question, yes, indeed. And the testimony we heard was that if you negotiate a lease with a mineral developer or explorer, you have indeed acknowledged the right of them to use your property. Further, you have given the right to agencies like the Department of Environmental Quality to go onto your property to inspect that site, the well site or whatever's happening. It is implied when you lease your mineral rights that you also give the right of inspection by numerous state and federal regulatory agencies.
Representative Ballo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. They've never come to me and asked to talk about that. I can assure you that, because they wouldn't get all that latitude. I have some specific questions about the language, page 2, page 3, and this is the verbal permission issue. One of the ways that they can gain permission is with verbal permission. I wondered what the discussion was at with about that was. And then on page 5, lines, 1 and 2, recreation, these things are not resource data. Recreational activity and educational activity, and I see the other language, but not used for legal or regulatory proceedings. So there's several qualifications in there. So they could use them for other purposes, but not for those two purposes. So I just like some discussion on the verbal thing. That's very important to me. And then maybe some discussion on what the intent was of that recreational activity and educational activity. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on Senate File 12. Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question, actually two questions for the bringer of the bill. One is resource data a tangible or intangible asset? Second question is, can resource data be collected by the use of an unmanned aerial vehicle, a drone, or perhaps satellite imagery? That's my question, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on Senate File 12. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to try to address some of the questions here, there was, in the interim committee discussions, an attempt to try to make the permission written at all times. And, you know, there was lots of testimony that that's really impractical. If you've tried to get written permission from people before, whereas they easily give verbal permission, can I go hunt back there? Yeah, I'll go right ahead. Well, would you put that in writing? Well, that changes the whole idea then. So that's why the verbal is in there, and yeah, that's going to be hard to prove if someone pushes that effort. As far as the other question about incidental to recreational activity or educational activity done with statutory, contractual, or other legal authorization, what they don't want to happen there is that if some group is out there legally on the land, not really trespassing, but they collect information that's later filed with a regulatory agent as something not being done properly, that's not legal then. And there was one other question on drones, and you know, I don't know what the law is on drones. You know, the FAA talked about, I think they're things below 500 feet, they're really not going to regulate. So my guess is if you have a drone, you can still fly it around wherever you want. But I don't remember that discussion.
Any further discussion on Senate File 12? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 12 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no?
No.
Senate File 12 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again until 2 p.m.
Are there any committee announcements? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet upon adjournment tonight. So let's hurry up this discussion so we can not be all night. In room H17 to hear the following bills, Senate File 62, Oral Chemotherapy Parity, Senate File 119, Hospice Respite Care.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room H8 to consider the following bills, Senate File 18, Senate File 73, and Senate File 75.
Vice Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Education Committee number four will meet tonight upon adjournment 5 minutes thereafter to hear Senate File 57, 98, and 101. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements? Vice Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number six will meet Thursday at 8 a.m. It's a new time, a new date, excuse me, to consider Senate File 44, Large Project Funding. Again, it's Thursday, 8 a.m., House 10. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess to hear two bills, Senate File 54, Election Code Revisions, and Senate File 43, the Wyoming Telecommunications Act Revision.
Mr. Minority Caucus Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Minority Caucus will caucus today at lunch on recess, basement East Conference Building. Basement, conference room, east, this building. The public is invited. It is an open meeting.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, a reminder that the majority will caucus upon adjournment in B63 of the Hersler Building.
Representative Kirkbride.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. A reminder that the legislative prayer breakfast will be tomorrow morning, 6:30 at the Egg, and I will hear from Tim Smith, who's a local insurance man, financial planner, and the brother of the two bright ladies who sang to us last week. So we think you'll enjoy hearing from him. Thank you.
Any further announcements or privileges of the floor? You've heard the motion that the Committee of the Whole rise and report again at 2 o'clock. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Be in recess until 2.